We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, folks, what's good? We are back. Another episode of Ain't No Seats podcast. And, fellas, what a wild week it was. We started Tuesday or Monday. We thought, hey, we can clinch by Monday night or Tuesday night if Baylor loses and the Hawks win Tuesday. Then by Saturday, none of that happened. And by Saturday, we're in overtime against Texas begging for a Big 12 title win. So roller coaster of a week. We'll talk about all that. But first, wanted to announce something we have coming for you guys on Thursday. We will actually be at the College Basketball Experience doing a post-game show following the 2 o'clock game that the Hawks play in. College Basketball Experience, if you're not familiar with them, they're the official Hall of Fame for men's college basketball. They've got over a dozen basketball skills challenges, including testing your knowledge of the game, plus the Hall of Fame located inside. They're open every day in March until 6 p.m., and they're open late until 8 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, the 10th and 11th. We'll be showing the game. They'll be showing the games on all of their TVs, which includes 16x9 video wall. And for anyone that mentions KCSN at the door, you will get $2 off regular admission rate. So come see us on Thursday if you want. We'll be doing a post-game show from the College Basketball Experience. Tyshawn Taylor, who's a friend of the pod, has been on a few times, probably one of our most talked about episodes. His plan is to be in the building and just talk a little hoop. So it should be a good day. Sharon may stop by. We're working on that too. So it's going to be a fun day. March is here. We're all pumped. And it's going to be a blast on Thursday. But fellas, like I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, what a wild week. Can you imagine if we played three games every week, let alone three games that mattered a ton? But when it's all said and done, the Hawks won the Big 12 championship. That's what Bill Self does. It's what he does. And after everything that happened, we're heading into March with a Big 12 title. B-turn. We got to be satisfied with what this season became, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yesterday was about as ugly as a game as you could play. I think both teams were low 30% from the field, and Ochai couldn't buy a bucket. He didn't make a field goal till like a few minutes left, and Dave was just like, I don't know. It's like prisoner of the moment stuff, but I couldn't be happier for a player I am for Dave right now. Just seeing the emotions he played with and how happy he was. Like, just Jalen was awesome, but it feels like Dave basically won us a Big 12 title. And like you said, Things got really nerve-wracking this week. Texas played Baylor on Monday, and we needed Baylor to lose. It got tied at the end, and Baylor ended up finding a way, just like they did yesterday against Iowa State. But, yeah, I mean, obviously super satisfying. Winning the Big 12 is going to – I mean, it's a huge selling point to get a one seed in March, so it's massive.
Yeah. I mean, you're right with the whole Dave thing. Like, the Dave saga has been wild. We've talked about it for years. You know, our whole joke on the pod, I made a bet that I said if Dave wasn't a top 50 player, top 100 player, I'd cut my foot off. And like at one point, like we literally thought my foot was going to get cut off because Dave at times has looked like a total disaster. But he also, what you saw yesterday, he can be as good. I mean, maybe this could be absurd, but like, I think when he's at his best, he can be as good as pretty much any big in the country. I mean, maybe outside of Oscar and Kofi Coburn, but like Dave, when he's at his best, 19, what do you have yesterday? 19, 13, 22. Something.
22.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that dude is.
The crazy part was he really could have had 30. I mean, early on, he missed a ton of easy bunnies, layups. Like, he was, I think he was 6 of 13 from the floor. And I mean, I think he missed like a 15 footer maybe, but a lot of those were around the rim. And he was 10 for 10 from the line. He's 16 for 16 from the line the last two games. And I think I wrote it down. He's like, he's 65 for his last 80 from the line. So he's back to like that 80% mark that he was at last year. And he's just,
yeah.
I mean, the dude's 80% from the line, but he's maybe like 40 from 1 or 2 feet. So it's just, it's the Dave McCormick experience. It's insane.
I mean, you're right. I mean, he gets 22 and 10. He could have had 30 and 10 because he at least missed three layups and I think a dunk in the first 5-10 minutes of that game.
Remember that play? He got fouled and tried to dunk it after the whistle and literally missed it. No one was close to him.
Yeah. I mean, AB, I feel like you've got good Dave commentary on Twitter. Where are you at with Dave? I'm curious. You know, I go back and forth. We've talked a lot about point guard play. Some of our biggest concerns have been the play at the five. Like, are we believing in Dave going into March, or are we just kind of, you know, roll the dice, we'll see what happens? Where do you stand on Dave?
I mean, I don't think he can be your best player in March like he was yesterday, if you want to, like, make a run. But I don't think Ochai's going to – I mean, we'll talk about it, I'm sure. But I don't think Ochai's going to struggle again like he did last night. I mean, I just have seen it with Dave enough where we've had – he gets hot for a game or two, and then all of a sudden he disappears, and he goes 2 of 7 from 3 feet away. And so, I mean, I'm happy to see it. Don't get me wrong. And he was the reason we won yesterday. I'm just kind of wait and see mode to see if that's a consistent thing going forward, or if he's going to, you know, kind of fall back again in a week or two and, you know, struggle to get to 10 points or 10 rebounds or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. We can't rely on Dave to win us games like that in the tournament. Now, I will say, I was going to ask you guys, you know, we've thrown out a lot of scenarios where it's like, would you rather win an ugly game where our shots aren't falling, or would you rather win a shootout in March? Like, what do you prefer? Well, obviously, Bill Self's accustomed to the ugly, grinded out, close game. But to be honest, this team really hadn't – I don't know. We hadn't had that type of game where Oach couldn't make shots. I think the team has had games where they didn't make shots, but Oach did, which allowed us to, you know, steal some wins this year. Yesterday we saw what it's like if this team just flat out really gets nothing from Oach. I mean, he had a bucket in overtime, but even like struggled defensively, struggled horribly on offense, shot wasn't falling, his senior day emotions thing. You could just tell he was just, I think Bill called it trying too hard. But I know it's a home game. You don't get to play home games in March, but I do think, you know, if we were going to get tested in any way, I think that was a great way for that to all happen. Is one, you're playing in a super pressure packed game. Like, it's when are you winning, you get the title, losing, you don't. And it was Oach that didn't get the shot. So guys like Dave, and now we still got to talk about Jalen, but like Jalen was freaking awesome. So I felt good that we finally kind of had a game like that where one of those two, three, CB Oach Dave or CB Jalen Dave had to be the guy to make the plays. And I don't want to see it in March, but it's nice to know it is possible. You know, maybe in a second round Sweet 16 game, those guys could grind it out. So
yeah, especially against a Chris Beard coach team, like that's one of the best defenses in the country. So to win a battle like that is huge going into March. And like, just to find a way there, we scored 2 points in the final 5 minutes. I think it was, I don't even know what the score was at that point, but yeah, it was just super ugly game. And like you said, we don't really get in games like that, or at least win games like that. And also, I was going to say, someone tweeted at us yesterday about how we talk about how Allen Fieldhouse is going into overtime. Like, yeah, it's just like 5 extra minutes and there's that buildup where they probably play another video and things like that. So I went back and looked at all the overtime games Bill Self's played in since he got to KU. He's 12-2 at Allen Fieldhouse in overtime games. So, which is insane. Yeah. I mean, everyone knows what OT is, but it's like a 5-minute period where the game's tied. And so it's like, I mean, that's insane to me. Both, I forget what years it was, but
I know we lost one to Iowa State in like 05 or something.
Yeah. And then 2017 to Iowa State. So both to Iowa State, but yeah. I was just sitting there trying to think like what games would we have lost in overtime at Allen, but it's like, they always seem to find a way. And usually
that's
it feels
pretty,
like
that's an absurd stat.
And usually it feels like we have a ton of momentum going into OT, and yesterday we really didn't. And kind of Texas Tech earlier this year too, which ultimately helped us win the Big 12. It's like we couldn't score late in the Texas game and Texas Tech game, and they end up finding a way in overtime in both.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know when we go into overtime, I immediately feel great. Like, I'm just like, all right, 5 minutes, got the crowd, you got Bill Self, you got guys that are used to this type of moment late in games. Our guys tend to just step up in overtime. And yesterday, I don't know. I mean, Texas missed a lot of shots, but we got stops. We really never did get going. And I was going to throw this little trivia for you, boys. I don't know if you've seen it. How many field goals do you think the Hawks made yesterday?
Oh, my God.
Scored 70 points. Pretty simple.
Texas made 21, but I feel like we shot a good amount of free throws. So I'll say 19.
I was going to say 22.
18. This good guess, turn.
We scored 45
minutes. We made 18 field goals in 45 minutes and won the game. Our player of the year candidate made one of them.
Dave made a third of our shots.
Yeah. I mean, I hope I'm not wrong on that. I read that like 2 hours ago. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
It is crazy. Fun to win a grinded out game, because I feel like we all know that's going to happen in March. Like, think about 2012, the Purdue game in the second round. It's like, how the hell did we escape that game? And then they go to the Natty. And I kind of was thinking earlier that I feel like I have the same feeling about this team than this, like the one in 2012. Like, I feel like all of our fans were down on both teams going into the tournament. Like, I feel like 2012, you didn't really know what you were getting. Like, obviously you had all Big 12 guys and T-Rob and Tyshawn, but you didn't really know what to expect from Elijah and Jeff and Relaford. And it's kind of the same with us. Like, we still have a couple like all Big 12 performers, but it's like some games you don't know what you're going to expect from Dave and probably not Jalen, but it's just, I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I kind of feel like the expectations are the same, because both those, like 2012 and this year, are both going to be highly seeded teams. And I feel like our expectations, we just didn't know. And then 2012 Big 12 tournament, I think they lost
They lost to in the quarters against Baylor. They were like a 9 seed, the 8 seed. It was bad loss. So, I think people were down.
No, I think that you're thinking of a different year, right? That was like 09 or something. We lost to Baylor in the first round of the Big 12. But I think we lost to Baylor. It was like the Friday early evening game.
They had like Perry Jones, right? And their zone just killed us. Yeah,
because they were sick that year, because that's when T-Rob had that alley-oop on that big Monday game.
Yeah,
and Baylor. And so why were they the 4 seed? That's crazy.
Mizzou was sick. I don't remember the 3 seed was, but
was it not the semis? Because
it
was. I was wrong. Yeah, I was thinking of the 09 loss. Because
Mizzou beat Baylor, I'm pretty sure.
But I don't know if you guys agree with that, like that comparison, because I guess T-Rob was like one of the best players. Like, he was probably runner up for National Player of the Year. So it's like you always had him and Ty, but I feel like there were some question marks, and like this team's highly seeded like that team. I just feel like our expectations aren't that high just because they're not as good as other KU teams.
Yeah. And
there's
a
lot of similarities. The bench stunk on both teams. I mean, if we can just say that, like not getting much bench play. You got two studs that are pretty consistent, and then three guys that can show out at times and can also fall asleep at times. So yeah, definitely some similarities, but.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of similarities to the 2018 team. I think I threw out a tweet about, hey, you know, after we lost TCU, I said something like, keep in mind the 2018 team lost by 18 points in their final regular season game on the road at not a great Oklahoma State team, which people were like, Doak and Devontae aren't walking through this door. And we'll get more to like the meltdown of that TCU game. We got a new little segment for you guys. But, you know, my thing is,
sorry,
what? No, go ahead.
Weren't they saying, like, I was just going to talk about your tweet. Like, weren't they saying, like, there was nothing to play for and stuff
like that?
Yeah,
which,
but, like,
it's just true. But
you still want to be peaking going into March. You don't want an embarrassing road loss.
Yeah, I mean, losing by 18 anytime with a Bill Self team, doesn't matter if you've wrapped up the league, that's bad. So, yeah, my point was just, like, you don't have to you can have a bad game late in the season and still be okay. And the 2018, I think people let 2020 doke really, I don't know, make them forget how long it took Doak to become 2020 Doak. Like, 2018 Doak was good, but he had knee issues. We were playing Silvio a ton, who came at semester. And, like, I don't know, Doak was a force, but he wasn't the most dominant big man in the country at all. And he was a huge liability at the free throw line, couldn't even play him late in some games. So, I don't know, like, that team, that 2018 team, just relied on really good guard play. And so when I think of a comparison, I like 2012, where the way you phrased it with, like, the expectations. But when I just think of style of play and way they're going to make a run, is it's got to be like the 2018 team, where the guards just hot. I mean, you got to get like a Malik. You're not going to get a Malik type performance, but if you can get Jalen and CB, and we've said it 1,000 times, and Ochai all playing well together, like that team did with Svee, Malik, and honestly, Devontae really didn't even have that good of a March. I think people forget about that.
Yeah, he's tired.
Yeah, and that's the worry with Ochai, I think, this week, as we've seen. I was kind of going to bring that up, but, like, I don't know. I think there's similarities with 2018, but that's a good little segue. How worried are we about the Och slump? Is he tired, 4 games and what, a week?
Yeah.
Or is it kind of good that he's going through a slump and we're hoping that he's, you know, heats up come March?
Yeah, I'm pretty worried. He looks super tired, and he's been – I love Och to death, but it's like he is a liability on the defense right now. Like, it's pretty it's terrible. Almost.
Yeah. And
Bill yesterday was so mad at him. Like, he just kept looking.
Well, yeah,
he kept looking at Coach T, and he's like, he's unplayable. He's awful. Like, and it's just like, have you guys seen what he is from the floor of the last 4 games?
I know that he was like 12 of 39. He's something absurd. What is he?
So Baylor, both TCU games, and yesterday's 21 of 69. 30% from the floor.
Yeah.
Which maybe it's a good time to have a slump, and now you get 4 days rest, and we could lose Thursday. I'm not saying we're going to win, but you're going to have you're not going to have that good of an opponent on Thursday. And it feels like the TCU and Texas matchups are super tough for him. Like, they have a lot of length, they have a lot of athletic guys, and they all defend. Like, Texas was super good against Och both games this year. He struggled at Texas and we almost won. And then yesterday they found a way to win. So yeah, he just looks super tired. Like, he's playing every minute, and I don't like, but the crazy thing is, like, just Bill talking about senior day, like a day before, he was like, Och is like one of the most conditioned players we've had, and one of the most conditioned in the country. So it's like, I don't know, maybe he's just gassed. Like, he looks gassed. And he hasn't really been great on defense all year. So it's like, I don't really know. I mean, he's putting in a ton of energy on offense. Like, he's running around trying to get open. He's the center of attention for defenses. So
what do you think, AB? Are you kind of like worried that, I mean, I think there's a difference between, it's totally fine to be gassed because you played 3 games in 5 days. Like, that's I can live with that, because now he gets 4 days off and he's, you know, rested by Thursday. Hopefully we can take good care of a team on Thursday. Maybe he doesn't have to play 40 minutes, 38 minutes, but I just hope, like, is it something where he gets these rests the next 4 days and he's fine? Or is it like just the entire season has finally started to weigh on him? I don't know. Where do you stand on it, AB?
I wasn't as worried about it because I kind of had the same mindset that he was just tired from the last week. Mm-hmm. But when you guys said that it started against Baylor, that's like before the 4 games in 8 days. So to me, that wouldn't really be, unless it's like season-long fatigue, which I guess it very well could be. But
I mean, let's keep in mind he had 27 against Baylor, but right, he just didn't make shot. Yeah,
points
yeah.
wise, he was still. And what do you have? 22 on Thursday, I want to say
23. Yeah,
yeah.
So like
yeah.
he's still putting up numbers. It's just not as efficient, I guess. But I don't know. I'm still going to try to trust the full season numbers and just expect that he's going to be fine. Get some time off here. Get some time off going into next week, and then hope for the best. I mean, that's all you can really do. But
the dude was shooting like 50% from three, wasn't he? Like, we knew that was pretty tough to withhold for an entire season. So, like, I mean, I don't know what he ended up at, but probably mid-40s, low to mid-40s. Like, that's still an incredible season. So, I do think we just kind of saw a little bit of fatigue, a little bit of averages playing out. And, yeah, I still – look, Boach may miss a lot of shots, but if he's still getting you 20 – we're talking about him slumping. That's what type of level he is. We're talking about him slumping. And in two of the four games we're talking about, he had 27 and 23. So, like, the dude is an absolute star. He's going to find ways to still get points other than yesterday, which I will put this out there right now. We will not have another game where Oach makes one basket the rest of the year. Just won't happen.
Not
I'll
one.
Cut my foot off.
He didn't make one in regulation. It's a crazy thing. He needed OT to make a bucket, but yeah, I don't like even the Baylor game. He was 8 of 22, so it's not like he was terrible, and he still had like 27, like Rice said. But
yeah.
A tournament game, like just a tournament game where it's like a grinded out defensive battle, and Oach can't buy a bucket, just terrifies me because it's like
terrifying.
I just worry about the other guys even like, getting good looks or creating shots or getting to the rim. I know Jalen's pretty good. Slasher like getting to the rim, but it's like and still with Oach, like a wide open three or wide open jumper still feels like a layup for him. So it's like if we can create wide open looks, and Bill's obviously amazing at drawing up plays and things like that. So
yeah, it's terrifying, and you know, you can survive it when you have 16,000 on your side, you know, willing you on. We always say when you're a one seed, your superstar is going can't buy a basket, and you're all of a sudden you're down 7, 8, 9. Now that building that may be full of half of Kansas fans, well, now the entire other half, even if they're not cheering for the team you're playing for, they're going to turn on you and they're going to start cheering for that upset. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we can't have Oach have 8. I think he ended up with 8 and 6. Like, okay. Still, I mean, he contributed, but you can't have Oach have a game like that in March. And, you know, if he does, we'll lose and we'll know exactly why we lost. And so, if it was going to happen any time, it's better to happen in the regular season, and it's even better to happen in a win. Like, the fact that we won is just crazy. I'm not too worried about him. I don't think fatigue – I think he's the type of guy – I think you said it, B-Turn, like Bill said, he's incredibly conditioned. You just look at the guy, he just looks like he's in the best shape in the world. But, you know, playing that many games in a row is going to be tough, and you're traveling, you're doing all that. Like, it's just – it's grueling. And I think by Thursday, he should be fine, which then he's going to play three straight, hopefully. So we'll see. But wanted to throw a little stat out to you guys. Saw this on Twitter. It's, you know, we just have to flex on Bill Self a little, or flex for Bill Self a little bit. Bill Self has coached a team in conference for 20, in a conference for 25 years. He coached Tulsa in the Western Athletic, he coached Illinois in the Big Ten, he coached Kansas in the Big 12, and here are his finishes in those 25 years. 3-1-1-1-2-2-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-3-1-2-1. I don't know if I got all the ones, but it's like when you see it laid out like that, it is – laugh out loud funny.
That sounded like an automated voice message thing, like a voicemail thing. 3-1. Dude, yeah.
He's a robot, dude.
That's the thing, is like those, I guess a lot of KU fans don't even think those matter, is the funny thing.
Yeah.
Just because he doesn't win natties. But it's like, and we always, and I guess I always say, but it's like an 18-game conference where you're playing 9 games on the road. It's like, that is a huge sample size compared to just like a one-and-done NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And for him to win, he won 14 in a row at one point. He's won a couple in the last few years. But yeah, it's just like he's such a great – I mean, he's amazing, like just developing guys and in-game situations. Like we always brag about him out of timeouts and play – like drawing up plays and things like that. Like he's just – he's amazing. And it's like when you do that, like when you finish, like you just said, 1-1-1, like you finish one in the conference every year, like you're going to give yourself a shot to win natties. And we talk about this on the pod all the time. Like the more chances Bill gets to win natties, eventually he's going to come through. It's like you got to, you get your team a 1 or 2 seed every year. Like if we read up, like once we get our 1 seed in the tournament or 2 seed in the tournament, there's going to be someone that tweets all the seeds he's been at KU. And it's like, if you're a 1 or 2 seed every year, you're going to give yourself a great chance to win a natty. I know he's only won one, but it's like, who really is winning them consistently?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does suck for Bill. I've always said this, like if college basketball was like college football and there's the top 4 teams went to a playoff, Bill Self would be Nick Saban. Like the way you get Bill Self to a college football playoff every year, essentially, he's going to win a lot of national titles. It's just the NCAA tournament is freaking hard. And there's, yeah. I want nothing more in the world than Bill Self to get a second title, because I think once he does, you start comparing 2 titles with the conference titles, and all of a sudden, like his resume is, it's absurd. Like, and I mean, I get stressed because it's like Bill's what, 60, 59, 60. So at best, if he coaches to Coach K, he coaches 15 more years. I think it's more likely we get him for 10 more years. So it is like you start to get stressed, like the clock's ticking. But like you said, if you get a 1 and a 2 seed every year, you're in the game. You have a shot. It just takes a string of 3 good weeks to make it happen. And I'm just glad he's our guy, and I'm glad that we do always go into March. Even like last year, we didn't find a way to talk ourselves into a natty, but we found our way to talk ourselves into like a crazy Final Four run. It was like if Gonzaga gets upset somehow, like we could beat whoever in Elite Eight. Like, I don't know. I just love that no matter what, Bill's got you, there's always hope. And
him never being worse than a 4 seed and not missing the tournament is insane to me. Like, just think about even the Blue Bloods. Like, Kentucky's missed the tournament a couple times. Duke was going to miss the tournament in 2020. UNC's missed the tournament a couple times. And, like, we played them in the second round as, like, an 8 or 9 seed. So, it's like those teams have been seeded low sometimes. And Duke's missed the tournament, Kentucky, UNC. Like, Michigan State hasn't won a title since 2000. And Bill makes it every year.
January, February, Izzo.
Bill makes it every year, and it's like if you're not worse than a 4, I feel like it's easy to talk yourself into a natty, because we've seen what can happen in the tournament. Like we've seen a UConn Butler NCAA title game, we've seen heartbreaking, but VCU made the Final 4. So it's like if you're not, it's just, I don't know, like not being worse than a 4 seed in 20 years, or he's close to 20 years as a coach at KU, is just insane to me. And he hasn't missed the tournament one time, like, and it hasn't even been in the discussion. Like there hasn't even, I don't think there's ever been a point where I've watched KU and he's been here where it's like, damn, we could not miss the tournament, or we could miss the tournament. It's like,
according to the Twitter timeline, after our Tuesday loss to TCU, we were on the bubble. But, you know, let's, you're right.
I'm so excited for that.
You want to get into that?
Oh, bad.
Can I say one more thing about Bill?
Yeah.
I think Scott Chasen tweeted it every year, and we see it mostly every year, but as many Big 12 titles as home losses.
Stupid.
At KU. That's
stupid. I truly think Bill is going to be one of those guys that once he's gone, you start to appreciate how absurd. Like, I don't think people grasp how absurd he is until, I think, like when he's gone, you just see all these stats laid out and they're constantly being talked about. I don't know. It's crazy. But let's get into we talked Big 12. We won the Big 12 title. Saturday was great. We had a little party in Allen Fieldhouse after senior night speeches. Everyone was happy. But you rewind that clock a little bit, that week, that calendar, and you go to Tuesday, and fellas, the freaking earth was ending. The Hawks, the fan base was melting down. Like, I mean, we melt down quite a bit, but boy, was Twitter insane. I mean, it was a night. It was disappointing, and I think we all said it. It was like, man, you come out, all you got to do is win a road game at TCU. At that point, felt like a fringe NCAA tournament team. It's like you come out and you lay an egg like this. You look this bad. And I think what I and AB, I think you and I both kind of agreed on this. I think by the end, after time had settled, had been, we'd seen the whole game. I think me and you both agreed, like, yeah, bad game, but we still kind of feel how we felt before. If we play like we played at TCU, yeah, we can lose in the second round. But if we don't, we can still make a Final Four. Like, it wasn't like anything major really changed. We just saw what our fears have been coming to life. And so we already knew this. And so I think we all, AB, I'll let you talk on it a little bit. I felt like after the game, we all kind of quickly got over it, said, hey, worst case scenario, we're fine. Let's move on. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, all it took was a couple spin zones in our group chat to kind of get back on board. But I mean, I don't think any of us have like seriously really thought of this team as like a national championship shoe-in or anything like that. So, I mean, just everything we've talked about for the last month, it feels like, obviously, when it all happens at once, I think you tweeted that this is everything that we've been talking about happening at the same time. And the fact that we were still in that game with a minute to go, down by four, whatever it was, like that kind of says a lot. Like, that almost made me feel better in a way, even though that was almost like the worst possible game I think this team can play. Now, following it up on Thursday against TCU, even though we won, that almost made me just hope that TCU is just a nightmare matchup for us, because the result was different because we won, but it was tight the whole game. And so I don't know, but I can't wait to get to the overreactions from people on Twitter. Cause it was my favorite night of the year, even though it was like, it was me laughing to not be sad, but boy, could I not stop.
And also, like you said, TCU was a fringe tournament team. So it's like we were playing to wrap up the Big 12, at least a share, but it's like they're playing for a lot too. And like you said, I really do think it is a nightmare matchup. Like, they're just insane on the glass. And think about at TCU, like, I can't even think of one guy who was good the whole night for us. No, and like you said, there was a chance late, and we missed a couple front ends, which could have ended up being 4 points. Jalen Coleman-Lance pulled up from three-quarters court and shot a three and almost killed someone in the stands when it was still in reach. But it's like, yeah, Thursday night, Mike Miles was not good at all, and they were in it. And I was kind of – at one point – It's like 11 or 12 minutes left. I looked, and KU was a 1-point favorite. So it's like, I was super nervous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like a tough matchup, and shit, we might see him again on Friday.
Yeah. I don't want that. And I think, it took us a while to really realize, like, at first it just felt like, God, we suck. We look awful. But then as you watch two straight games against TCU, it was kind of just like, yeah, this team is a nightmare for us to play again. So I felt better about it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
But let's get into our segment. Our new segment is Meltdowns of the Week by our fan base. I just named that on the spot. We can workshop that. But here we go. Here's some that I screenshotted, and I'll present mine, and then you guys can present yours. Here's the first one. We're not going to say who tweeted them. Don't do that. Let's just go off what they said. So This person responded to someone's tweet, said, "Team won't sniff another natty until self is gone. Been a huge fan for 25 years, but it's the reality. His system is outdated, and he's too stubborn to adapt or play the best players. Lightfoot and Harris aren't Final Four caliber." Okay. Little overreaction.
Do we want to like rotate through? Do you want me to do one?
Yeah, okay. Let's rotate. You go. Right. You go ahead, AB.
So this one's a two-parter from same. I'm not going to name the name, but this one really caught my eye. Quote: "Until self stops licking Wilson and Harris's, we'll continue to struggle. They both suck. This team. Self has no effing clue how to coach this team, and it's effing March. Hashtag KUB ball."
Thanks for saying effing after dropping a hard F right before
that. I didn't want to say it like 17 times in a row. Felt one time was good enough.
I did see that one. That was good. B-turn.
This one's just funny to me because I just feel like when we lose game, like especially for me, like when we lose games, my head is like just like the worst thoughts are going through my head. And this guy is just all over the place. He says, okay, so we lose at TCU. He goes, "Season's over, in my opinion. I'm not kidding. Probably kill TCU in 2 days. Scrape out an ugly one against a Texas. Get ass embarrassed in Big 12 title game. 2 seed. Probably Sweet 16 if we get an okay second round matchup. Then lose to a way better team. Back to the drawing board, Bill."
I mean, that one, that's not even that bad. Like, I almost respect the guy for – because truly, that's somehow sometimes how I feel about this team. Like, I love that
he went from seasons over to
breaking down every NCAA tournament game.
Every game the rest of the year.
Wow. Those were good. I mean, I kind of just
keep going.
I've got two more.
None that – I mean, those were – I mean, you guys found some classics. I just liked some of the ones that were, pretty simple. This guy just comes with a meh. This doesn't matter. This team's not making it to the second weekend anyways. Just don't have enough talent. And then I just really liked that this guy said, "I'd be pleased with the second round at this point, much less second weekend." This guy just wants a win over a 16 seed. He's good.
Scrape one out as a 26-point favorite on Thursday.
We're cutting down nets after a first round win over a 16 seed.
Jacksonville State. Yeah.
I just love how we went in that game of one seed and come out begging for a second round. God, fan base is incredible. Okay. Go ahead, AB.
This one might be my favorite one. I don't want you guys to beat me to it, so I'm going to skip to it. Quote: "There's a better chance of Putin winning a Nobel Prize or Peace Prize this year than KU making it out of the first weekend of the NCAAs."
I had that one. Yeah, I mean, speaks for itself. Timely with the things going on in the world, but wow.
Really hit him in the sweet spot.
Yeah, he hit all areas.
I've already sent this into our group, so we've all seen it, but might be just the best tweet in the history of the app. Like, it's up there. Like, at least for KU basketball wise. It doesn't even have to do with like KU melting down, but the dude said, "Bro, come see me when you're donating at the level I am. I expect performance for my investment. No different than my financial portfolio."
Just trying to flex on everybody while melting down about the Hawks because he donated $12 to the Williams Fund last month.
I expect 18-year-olds to go off and be perfect every night because I donate money to KU.
My favorite part about that is he's like, "I expect a return on my investment." Like, dude, it doesn't matter if KU wins the Natty. You're not getting a return on your investment. If we do good, you're just going to spend more money on the Hawks. Like, you can't. Donating money to a college program is not getting you a return, I guess, emotion-wise. But, yeah, that one takes the cake for me. I mean, it's just an all-time flex, an all-time weird, like, just the way he laid that all out had me literally laughing out loud when you sent that in the group chat last week.
KU needs a players-only meeting was a good one, too. Just hey. It's like it's based off one loss.
People forget we had a players only meeting in 08 at Henry T's. The fellas ate some wings, and next thing you know, they rattle off like 12 straight to win a natty.
Until Self stops licking Wilson and Harrison's balls.
That one's tough too. That one's a good one. Meanwhile, Wilson literally leads us to a Big 12 title along with Dave on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, just shows how much can change. I had a few other ones, but they mostly I wanted to say them just because, like, this one was simple, but Kansas is the most overrated top 25 team. At best, they're a 4 seed, but honestly, they're really a 5 to a 7 seed. Like, I just love when we lose, logic just goes out the door. Like, this guy moved us down 6 seed lines because we lost one game to an NCAA tournament team. So those obviously aren't as favorite, yeah. Those aren't as funny as your guys's, but it's like I think that guy was dead serious. Like, I think he
all
was
these
dead
people
serious.
Are.
He thinks we're a 7 seed in the tournament because we lost to TCU. Man, someone I almost want the Hawks to lose more games so we can do more of these segments, but go ahead. Yeah,
there's someone else that tweeted we really shouldn't be above a 5 seed in the tournament. It's like, do you pay attention? Or I remember when we lost to Baylor a few years ago, someone on Jayhawk Slant like made a thread that said this team is in danger of missing the tournament. It's like, I got for that one, but I don't think there was a chance we could miss the tournament. But like, the craziest thoughts go through our fans' heads when we lose games, and we only lose like what, probably 4 or 5 a year on average. So it's like when we lose, the world is ending.
Yeah, I mean, even like when we talked earlier about how I tweeted about the 2018 team, like people were saying like, horrible comparison. 2018 team would cook this 2022 version. I really, honestly, I don't know how you guys feel. I don't think so. I think it'd be a decent game.
Those people, the only thing they remember about that season is how it ended, not the first 5 months of that season where they were at times a very average basketball team.
Yeah. And I mean, they said that team would beat this team by 30. I don't think that would happen, but yeah. I mean, you love our fan base because we're as passionate as it gets. Like, people just live and die by what the Hawks do. But, boy, I hope this segment puts things in perspective and makes you realize, like, maybe I should not fire off that meltdown tweet after loss. I mean, I do that quite a bit. I'll just put my phone away, and I'll just, like, throw something on Netflix just because I'm like, I don't want to tweet any. I mean, I would never tweet anything like that, but I don't even want to tweet anything close to that meltdown status. If I'm going to melt down, I'm going to text you guys and melt down with you. So, yeah, fun stuff, fun segment. Let's hope we don't have to do it again. But I have a bad feeling we're going to be bringing that back after an old March Madness loss.
Can I segue to something that has to do with people melting down really quick?
Yes.
I don't know if you had it on your little list of things to talk about, but can we lay off DeJuan Harris a little bit, please? He had 2 bad games shooting the basketball, and we had just said all we need from him is to distribute and get the ball to better shooters, which we have on the team. He doesn't have to score 15 points a game, hit a couple shots, be a little bit of a threat, pass the ball, play good defense. Even against TCU, everyone wanted him cut. He was 7 assists, no turnovers. I know he had some issues. Maybe he didn't defend as well as we'd want to, but like, let's just remember who DeJuan Harris is. Like we said 2 weeks ago on the pod, on the video that we tweeted out as our promo, he's not supposed to be the guy leading our team in scoring. He's supposed to get the ball to the other guys. And if they're struggling, maybe it does make him look worse. But, like, let's slow the roll on him a little bit because he's still our point guard. He's still going to be starting, still going to play 35 minutes a game. Like, don't freak out on him for having a game or two that wasn't as good as it had been, you know, the first few months of the year. That's all I have to say on DeJuan.
I'm
backing him up.
And I love it. Our fans bitch and cry about him not being a scorer. And when he doesn't score, they still bitch. It's like, you know what he is. Yeah. Like, he's a great defender. He has an amazing assist to turnover ratio. Yesterday he was unreal. I don't know if you guys paid attention to him guarding, but
he was really good.
And like, he won us the game on Thursday.
That Thursday block on Miles, which I don't know what TCU was doing, going for a 2 there, but like, incredible defensive play. AB, I absolutely loved your tweet Thursday that said just, and I think we've reached our cussing limit on this episode, but I think it just said, DeJuan Harris would like you all to kindly shut the F up. Like, it was just so such a good response by him after the full-on meltdown on Tuesday. Sound like we even talk about that. He said in post-game that Bill called him a word he can't repeat. I would assume that word starts with a B or a P, one of the two. But it worked. And like, you love that out of your guy. And you know, Bill did that on purpose. Like, he knew DeJuan could handle that and would respond. And he did. So yeah, I'm fine. I feel fine about DeJuan. I don't want him to play like he did against Baylor and TCU those first two times, but I'm not, that's not what worries me the most about this team anymore. There's plenty of areas. So, all right.
I just had to get that off my chest.
I love it. Okay, I want to do bracketology in a little bit and a little Big 12 preview, but I got one thing for you, AB. What about this saying? January, February, Hubert Davis.
Oh, my God. I was hoping we'd talk about this.
We got to talk about what an all-time night.
Be quiet. Let me talk. Let me talk.
Coach K losing his final home game is – one of my favorite moments, non-KU sports moments, maybe ever. And, like, my girlfriend thought I was an absolute psychopath. Like, she was like, you have no heart. You want this poor old man to lose his last home game? I was like, I've never wanted anything more in my life. Like, they got pumped late in that game. Like, they didn't even have a chance to win. And it's just perfect. Perfect. Because, I mean, you see Roy Williams leave the way he did. He just left. Like, he did a press conference. He cried. He thanked his players. It was great. It was good. It's typical Roy. And then Coach K just does the polar opposite. Sets up a farewell tour. The rumor was he was mad at UNC that they didn't honor him at their first game in Chapel Hill. The coaches don't shake hands with Hubert Davis after the game like Coach K did. But, like, Chris Carwell, like, dude, that team, that program is so hateable, and I hope, like, John Shire seems like a fine dude. I don't hate that guy like I hate Coach K, but, like, I hope that program is in shambles in 5 years when we're on this podcast talking.
Dude, I was going to say early in the episode, like, we could just have a whole nother episode talking about just Duke as a whole and yesterday, because that was so awesome. Like, I think I know I tweeted about them losing potentially, and you tweeted about hopefully Coach K's last home game getting spoiled, but it's like, that was so perfect, dude. 11-point favorite. Those dorky-ass fans paid thousands and thousands of dollars to go into Cameron Indoor and watch them lose to their biggest rival, like the biggest rivalry maybe in sports, and it wasn't close at the end of the game. And
no,
Coach K's just instilled that, like, I don't want to be this big of a hater, but it's like, he's instilled that just biggest loser.
Corny. Like, I just call
loser
it corny.
Mentality into his coaches. Like, you can't even look at the other coaches in their eyes when you're walking through the line because you're so butthurt. And then just freaking panning through the fans in the crowd and they're just crying and shit. Like, that was – and to make it even better, 100 other dorky former – flopping players, old former players were in the crowd to watch it. That was awesome.
It was. Dude, the fact that they had to have, like, ESPN didn't have something else scheduled and it was just 20 minutes of close-ups of Duke fans crying, like, it was so good. I tweeted, like, it was an office, like, it was like Michael Scott. If Michael Scott was planning his farewell tour from Dunder Mifflin, like, this is how it would have gone. Like, it was just such a clown show watching these people cry in the stands as they set up chairs for in a podium for people to come speak about Coach K after he just had the most embarrassing loss probably of his career. Like, and I said it, and I don't know if this is why they lost, but I think it's partly. Like, you put so much pressure on a group of pretty much 18, 19. I mean, Duke's a young team. So 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds are playing for this 75-year-old's biggest game. It's an absolute just circus before. Like, that's so much pressure for young kids. And there's no doubt in my mind that team was tight as can be. And there's nobody that did that besides Coach K. He asked for this. He could have just not told a soul he was leaving. He could have internally told Shire, hey, you're the guy. I don't know. Just the way this is all handled, set them up for that loss, and I love it.
And like you said about the pressure, like on those players, it was insane. I know both of you guys were at Allen yesterday, but during the game, like there's a minute left. The game is tied. KU. And they're doing like a split screen of Coach K, like walking through the tunnel and shaking hands with everybody and starting to give like a little pregame speech. I'm like, we got a top 7 team in the country right now against the top 20 team in the country right now, tied at Allen Fieldhouse. If ESPN was so worried about it, schedule that shitter at like 5:30 or 6 instead of at 5 o'clock when no game ever starts on time in college basketball. But I was mad at it when it was happening. Looking back, now that they lost, it just adds to like the excitement or the happiness like that they lost because there was just so much buildup for that game. They literally mentioned it every time out of commercial that Duke and Carolina was following that game. Like out of the first TV timeout, 16 minutes left in the first half, they're like, oh, and don't forget, here in about 2 hours, we got Duke and Carolina for Coach K's final game.
It was a perfect storm because, one, like us going to overtime took away from Coach K getting the full shine, the full screen. We took that away from him. And then for them to lose, it was just like if I would have wrote down that morning and someone said, hey, write down best case scenario for this day. That's what I would have wrote down. So,
I mean, if you didn't immediately think about Ryan Reinhart after Duke lost, then you're wrong.
Because I mean,
this guy's been, I feel like he's almost the leader of pointing out the stupid shit Coach K's done in like the last, since we started the pod at least, but it's like, I feel like people didn't really recognize it or notice it, but I feel like Ryan's kind of been the guy that almost started that, at least in KU Twitter. And like, when Ryan tweets about Duke, like people love it.
Yeah.
You've changed my mind on it too, because I remember when we first started the pod, we were kind of going back and forth between who we hated more, between Cal and K. And at that point, I hated Coach Cal.
Oh my God.
And I still don't love the guy. But then you started like talking about Coach K, and I started following it a little bit more and like seeing the stupid stuff that he would do. And it's not even close anymore. Like, I don't think it's even a debate to talk about who's cornier, who's more annoying, who's a bigger douchebag than Coach K.
Yeah. I mean, that's what – and I think I started noticing this in like 2013, 14, 15. Like, it drove me nuts. Growing up, you have this thought of like, oh, Coach K is just a class act. He's the ultimate role model. He's all for the kids. And you just listen to the guy talk, and he's just not. And his actions prove time and time again he's not. He's about himself. And, yeah, I think that may be the best compliment anyone's ever given me, B-Turn, to say that I'm the leader of the charge of just outing K for the things he does wrong. Like, he does a lot of things that I don't think get talked about, of where he's just a total prick. Like, that's all it is. They're all there is to it.
Word.
So, yeah. I mean,
he's one of the goats. He's won 5 natties. Like, there's a reason it was that big of a day, but it's like, and he probably has a right to be, but it just feels like he just thinks he's so entitled and can just do whatever the hell he wants. Like, going to opposing crowds and telling them what to do. He stopped Dylan Brooks in the middle of a handshake line to tell him what he did wrong in an NCAA tournament game. Like,
he just lost. Like, Dylan Brooks just won. Let the dude celebrate and have fun. And Coach K is lecturing him. Like, he just beat you, dude. He doesn't need your advice.
And also, all these instances, he's doing it to like 20-year-olds. It's like, think about, like, they're college kids that just have fun. Like, the students are probably hammered. Like, the students he's getting mad at are probably, a lot of them are probably drunk, like, just having fun. It's like, imagine when we were 20, or like when Coach K was 20. It's like, how do you just the dude is just a fun sucker, literally.
Remember when he yelled at the student section because he thought they were chanting something negative at Jeff Capel? And
he's one of us.
And then it turned out he was wrong. He had to like apologize. And then I remember I texted you guys, and this is a sensitive subject, but I said, like, guys, Coach K is gonna blame this on Kobe's death. He's gonna claim the reason he's been so mean this year was because of Kobe's death. 2 weeks later, he did it. Like, the guy, he blamed him yelling at a bunch of 18-year-olds on an NBA player passing away. Like, that is Coach K in a nutshell to me. And I don't know. Obviously, Kobe's death affected Coach K. I don't want to act like it didn't, but I just thought that was such a low move of him to just not own up to your mistake, say I was out of my mind and that was wrong. Instead, he had to blame it on something like that. So
didn't he withdraw Duke from the tourney a few years ago when they weren't going to make it?
No, it was during COVID. He it was before the conferences had started like canceling stuff and before the NCAA had canceled the tournament. And he I don't know if it was him directly or if it was Duke athletics in general, but they basically said spring sports are canceled from here on out. 2 weeks before Selection Sunday was supposed to be.
All time lines when Coach K last year when his team stunk was like, I think we need to cancel the season. I think we really need to think about what we're putting these kids through. And Nate Oates gets asked about it in post game, and Nate Oates is like, you think Coach K'd want to cancel the season had he not just lost back-to-back home games by double digits? And the reporter was like, probably not, no. And Nate Oates was like, yeah, thank you, exactly, and just moved on. Even coaches nowadays, where I think they used to all kiss his feet and love him, now I think they're all kind of seeing the just bogusness of that dude.
And also he doesn't get people refuse to dog on him for losing early in the tournament or not winning with a lot of talent. For some reason, and maybe it's because we're local and we see tweets from people around here, but Bill Self gets this choker label and
yeah.
But Coach K has had you tweeted the list of players he's had and lately, he's had some superstars and he's lost in the first round as a 2 seed and
yeah,
it's people refuse to discredit him at all. That shit is just super annoying to me. Yeah, and did you see the Joey Baker thing yesterday?
Yeah, I can't figure out if that's real criticism or not. So apparently Joey Baker's a senior, but since he might come back, Duke didn't allow him to do a senior night speech. So everyone was like, why did Coach K, why was he the only one that spoke? This is a senior night too. But apparently they just told now if Joey Baker decides to just graduate and move on, he doesn't get to have a senior night speech. I love that KU just lets Dave give a speech yesterday because worst case scenario is Dave gives 2 speeches or I don't know, doesn't give one next year. It's just let the guy speak. Senior. And if he comes back, who cares? It's going to be okay. But yeah, I get it. That just maybe Joey Baker said, nah, I'm good. I don't need a speech. I'll be back. I don't know. But
no, but also he didn't play him a minute.
Oh,
he didn't play a second.
Yeah.
And supposedly Coach K burned his red shirt when he was a freshman and played 3 games the whole year. And then yesterday, even when they were getting blown out late, I know he might come back, but it's at least sneak him in there for a minute or let him. Chris Tehan played for 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah. He played 2 minutes. Solid basketball. I'm happy I did not forget to bring up Coach K because there's dunking on that man. It was an all-time Twitter night. Just so many good tweets. Nothing will make me giggle more than just calling Coach K Coach L. Just such a simple joke, but calling him Coach L is just huge. And we have breaking news from our producer, Ochai Agbaji, named Big 12 Player of the Year, which we knew that was coming. But what I love the most about this is he is now guaranteed a spot up in the rafters at Allen Fieldhouse. That's awesome. I don't think he really had any competition for this. I'd be curious to see if he's unanimous, but yeah, that's awesome. Well-deserved. Shout out to Ochai. Oh yeah. Unanimous. You'll love to see it.
Shout out Tucker. That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah. Love to break the old news on the pod. So,
guys struggled lately, but he's been freaking money all year. And I tweeted it against TCU on Thursday night. I don't know how you guys feel, but it's I personally thought Oach was gone. And I tweeted what would our record be without him? Would we be, I don't know what we would, cause Remy came in, didn't do much. It's we would really have to rely on CB and Jalen being awesome every single night. And I don't even what would your, if Ochai didn't come back, what would your, what do you think our seed would have been? Or what do you think, how many more losses would we have had, I guess?
I think we're a 4 or 5 seed. Go ahead, AB.
I was just gonna say, I feel like we're having a lot of different conversations if that one thing changes, because I kind of think it's a different Remy that shows up because he's probably getting more shots, more part of the offense, more relied on to score points. I just think a lot changes if that one thing doesn't, Ochai doesn't come back. But, I mean, you're probably right. I don't think we're talking about a Big 12 championship and potential one or two seed in March and hopefully a Final Four run.
I mean, Bill would have found a way to have us win in close games. CB, Jalen would have had a little better numbers. Maybe Jalen Coleman-Lanz has a better year. But, yeah, I mean, Ochai is fully responsible for the fact that we have a little bit of hope that this team can make a run in March. And having a guy like that makes it possible. So, shout out to him. It's so awesome that he's going to have his jersey retired. And who would have ever saw that coming?
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, that's, I mean, just a super awesome story. Like,
yeah,
KC really kid, low recruit, not very sought after. Comes to KU, thought about leaving, comes back, unanimous Big 12 player of the year, one of the best players in the country, going to be a guaranteed first rounder, maybe lotto, and he's going to be up there forever next to, like, some of the best players to ever come here. That's awesome.
It's incredible. We've gone on a while here. The Coach K rant took about 15 more minutes than I planned, but let's I don't know. You guys want to talk Big 12 tournament or bracketology? I feel like bracketology at this point is pretty obvious, right? We got to win.
We can kind of tie it in together. It's just you win the tournament, you're a one seed. You don't. So, maybe a loss in the title, you get one. But
yeah, I think if we win the tournament, we're getting a one seed. Unless, I mean, if Auburn wins tournament, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. It depends on what Baylor does. But yeah, it feels like we kind of control our destiny when it comes to a one seed. So in order to get there. The bracket's out. We're either going to play Thursday against K-State, who's given us a tough game in Manhattan, but then we smoked them. And then West Virginia, who we took pretty easy care of. But K-State's absolutely reeling these last few weeks. They've lost five straight. You guys have a preference on who we see Thursday?
K-State, please.
Really?
Oh, my God. It'd be fucking awesome to end Bruce Weber's career.
And how electric have both games been? I know the second one wasn't close, but our offense was so fun to watch. And I feel like in the second half in Manhattan, the offense was amazing too. And K-State's had some great performances too. So it would be electric, and just the Sprint Center would be awesome too.
Well, I just kind of feel like
T-Mobile.
That Thursday game when we're one seed, I know we've lost a couple of them, but they were very weird circumstances, like Josh Jackson not playing or whatever. But it's usually just kind of like a rollover. You pay attention a little bit, but you know you're going to win. You're more focused on Friday, Saturday, looking ahead to the NCAA tournament. If you play K-State in that game, in Kansas City, Bruce Weber's final game probably. Like, it adds a lot more excitement, build-up, and just the reaction after the game is more fun because you like beating those guys. So if we beat West Law, are we really going to care about that game?
It's a good point. But really, like you said, where it gets serious is Friday. We could see just again TCU, Texas. I think we've seen this year that neither of those teams are a great matchup for us. It's going to be a huge test, obviously, to get to that what we hope to see Baylor, Kansas final. Assuming we get past K-State or West Virginia. Where do we lean? I think the obvious choice is to say you'd rather see TCU than Chris Beard in Texas, but also TCU is a bad matchup. I still take TCU, but I don't know. Where do you guys fall on that?
Yeah, that's tough because, like you said, TCU is a super tough matchup. But Texas has been, super good on Oach too, which is scary, but I feel like we should have won at Texas without a bank three going in, and then at Allen, we probably couldn't have played worse, and we ended up finding a way. So it's like, and they lost that big, which he's not amazing, but I feel like they're not as deep, and we did a super good job on Timmy Allen yesterday, by the way, too. But
yeah,
I would say Texas has more talent, better coach, obviously, but that TCU matchup is just
AB.
This one's easier for me, and I'm going to use a logic that you use often, Ryan. The close your eyes and picture it. Can you close your eyes and picture Jamie Dixon and TCU in the Big 12 title game on Saturday? No.
But
I can close my eyes and picture Chris Beard in Texas because they've been there before.
I love it.
That's
the answer.
It's the answer.
Take the analysis out of it. Take mm-hmm. matchups out of it. That's the answer. Jamie Dixon is not making a conference championship game. So he'll probably – unfortunately, that probably the – that logic leads you to believe that Chris Beard's probably just going to beat him in that quarterfinal game. But yeah, Chris Beard's obviously, I don't care what his team is, who he's got on his roster, what time of the year, he's still just, you're a little scared to play Chris Beard. The guy is a stud. His teams play such good defense, and yeah.
Feels like they always peak around this time too.
You know who's kind of like not peaking and is sneaky been really bad is Texas Tech. And I think a few weeks ago it was like, we want to see Texas Tech and Kansas in the Big 12 title game, but like, not me. I want Baylor KU so bad. The buzz that would be inside T-Mobile, Sprint Center, whatever you want to call it, it would be incredible. What are you saying, AB? What are these?
It sounds like you care more about a good atmosphere in the Big 12 championship game than a one seed. I mean, obviously, you probably think we beat Baylor. But if
we beat Baylor, we will get the one seed.
Right, but if we lose to Baylor, I don't know if we do.
Oh, yeah. I've told myself we have to win the Big 12 tournament to get
right,
the one seed.
But my point is if Baylor loses to Texas Tech, and we play Texas Tech in the final, A, it's probably an easier game. B, we're still going to wind up the one seed if we win, because Baylor lost in the semis. They're not going to be over us still. We might even still be a one seed if we lose that game to Texas Tech.
You know why I want Baylor? I've told you this. I want that big time elite win that gets national talk. And if you beat Baylor in Kansas City to win the Big 12 tournament, you're going in as March as a feared team. And I don't think this team's been feared once this year, but I think beating Baylor, we share the title. We got to beat Baylor. We shared the title with them. Mm-hmm. This is KU Texas. This is KU Texas, Rick Barnes. Like, if we lose, we lose, but I want it. I want it to happen. And I think it will. I think that is what we're going to see. It seems chalky, but I think it's going to be ugly. But I think we'll get there, and I think they'll get there, and it'll be a great atmosphere. It'll be a fun time. So,
you guys want an upset alert from me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the bracket to make sure I'm not wrong on this. Who's the sixth seed? Oh, I got it. Okay. Give me the Clones over Tech.
It's Thursday. Very possible.
They Tech take over that stadium and – I mean, it's not like Iowa State's great, but their fans probably the last 2 years have been begging for a vacation. And we know this is their number one vacation spot every year. So they're going to fill up Sprint Center, T-Mobile Center, AT&T Center, whatever the hell we're calling it nowadays. And yeah, give me the Clones on Thursday night against Tech.
Did you guys get your hopes up a ton yesterday?
Oh, I did.
With Iowa State winning, or were you kind of into the UNC game more? And also,
I was at Buffalo Wild Wings watching both, so I was like very locked in. Like,
I was like at a restaurant, and I was like facing the Duke UNC game, and the Baylor game was on behind me, and like the only TV I could see was Duke UNC. I didn't even realize it was a close game until I turned around with like 3 minutes left, because wasn't Baylor up by like 20 with the first?
It was 27-4.
Yeah, so I just kind of thought that game was over. And didn't have my eyes on it at all. I was doing other stuff. And then, kind of caught me by surprise when it was a close game.
Yeah. My other question is, I know this might sound stupid, but it's like, how much did you guys really care to win it outright? Like, obviously you want to, but it's like, I feel like we talk about the streak and how into that we were. Like, that was living and dying by other teams losing and us winning and things like that. Like, once we won, it was like, I didn't even really – I mean, once it was close, the Baylor game was close, I was into it. But it's like, I don't really care – as much about even winning the Big 12. Obviously you want natties and stuff, and it's cool to win the league, but
I thought Bill had a perfect quote. He's like, look, we just celebrate on the court. We got hats, we got t-shirts, we got our trophy, we got our rings ready. Like, you can't take that away. Like, the fact that we got to sit there at Allen Fieldhouse and watch that team celebrate, and that team got to celebrate in the locker room together, call themselves Big 12 champions, like, who cares? Like, Baylor did the same thing. I get that. Both teams deserve praise. Like, they split. They both won a lot of big games. They played a gauntlet of a Big 12 schedule. I don't care. It's fun to say you're Big 12 champions, and those guys earned it. So, it would have been funny if we had all those meltdowns all week about losing the conference and then Baylor, we win it outright anyways. But it really did not change how I felt at all about the day yesterday. So, all right, you guys got anything else before we head into the old Big 12 tournament?
Come out and see us on Thursday.
Yeah. Tyshawn 100% going to be in the building.
Yeah.
Kind of nervous to say that, but he will be there. Sharon should be there. So it's like, come interact with those dudes, KU legends. And then we're obviously going to be talking about the Hawks. So come hang out with us. I think it's going to be an awesome weekend in KC. Hopefully we at least make the finals. And I mean, KU Baylor to get a one seed would be electric stuff. Like, cause
so good.
Auburn, you would think Auburn or Kentucky is going to win the SEC tournament. So one of those teams should be a one. Yeah. I don't know. It's just going to be obviously a super fun weekend. And then Selection Sunday on Sunday, and we'll 100% record right after that.
Yep. So
just one other thing
before
you finish up. I know we're not talking much bracketology, but I just want to share this potential region that was tweeted out earlier by Lenardi. KU is a one seed, Wisconsin as a two seed, Tennessee as a three seed, Providence is a four seed. If that is our bracket, I mean, we should all be ecstatic. That's about as easy as a 1-4 you can get. I know Tennessee, we talked about them a little bit earlier. They're good. But Wisconsin is your two, Providence is your four. I mean, Providence is like 40th in KenPom. If that's your Sweet 16 game, even if it's not, they're probably getting the 12 seed might come through. Just hope for that little teaser for next weekend.
Someone made this point earlier, and I don't know how you guys feel, but it's like I feel like a lot of the four or fives are kind of sketchy, and like the three seeds are like super solid. So I still like everyone says there's not that big of a difference between one and two seeds, but being a one and potentially playing a four or five, or if the four and fives are sketchy, it probably might not even make it to the Sweet 16. So being a one,
I'm all in on a one.
Yeah. Also, Christian Brown, last five games, guess what he is from three percentage-wise?
54%.
57%.
69%, which is
nice. Hey, he is shooting more. That's what we asked for.
11 for 16 from three. Last three games, he's been knocked down, and he's got to shoot more.
Got to shoot more. Well, that's a great note, a nice note to end it on. And, good episode. I had a lot of fun this episode. I'm so pumped. To quote the great John Rothstein, this is March, and we're excited. It's going to be a great week, great couple weeks. And
he's such a dork.
We will see you guys on Thursday. That's it.
Rock chalk.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.